The Blooding by James McGee. Read by David Timpson.
If they are to fight, they are too few. If they are to be killed, they are too many. The Anoguin, Wolf Clan, Kanyunkehaka, Warrior, Sachem, Diplomat, Orator.
Prologue.
Mohawk Valley, New York State, May 1780. Reaching the edge of the forest, Lieutenant Gil Wyatt halted and dropped to one knee. Cradling his rifle, he gazed down at the scene spread below him, his expression calm and watchful. From his elevated position, the ground sloped away gently, gradually widening out into a swathe of rich green meadow grass, speckled with blue violets, through which ran a shallow stream, bordered by stands of scarlet oak and white willow. Tree stumps dotted the incline, evidence of the labor that had gone into converting the land and raising the single-story, timber-built cabin that nestled in the center of the clearing. A small cornfield and a well-stocked vegetable patch occupied one side of the dwelling. On the other there was a paddock containing two horses, and beyond that a fenced-in pasture, where three dun-colored milk cows grazed placidly, tails swishing to deter the summer flies. Half a dozen chickens competed for scratchings in the shade of the cabin's slanted porch. A barn and a hen-house made up the rest of the homestead, along with a clapboard privy and a lean-to that had been affixed to the cabin wall as a storage shelter for winter fuel. A pile of untrimmed branches lay nearby, next to a large oak stump. Driven into the stump were a hatchet and a long-handled woodman's axe. There was no sign of the farm's occupants. "Looks quiet enough," Wyatt thought, as he admired the stillness of the setting. Dawn had broken more than an hour earlier, but across the surface of the meadow dewdrops shone like diamonds in the soft morning haze. It was as the lieutenant's gaze shifted to the plume of wood smoke rising in a lazy spiral above the cabin's shingle roof that a shadow moved within the trees on the far side of the clearing. Wyatt tensed, and then watched as a young female whitetail stepped out from behind a clump of silver birch. Releasing his breath, Wyatt remained still. His sun-weathered face, forage cap, moss-green tunic, buckskin leggings and tan moccasin boots blended perfectly with the surrounding foliage. The direction of the smoke had already told him he was downwind, so he knew the doe had not picked up his scent. If she had, she would have stayed hidden, and Wyatt and the four men with him would have been oblivious to her passing, with the possible exception of the individual on Wyatt's right flank. Unlike the rangers, he wore neither shirt nor jacket nor any vestige of a uniform, though his appearance would have left even a casual observer with little doubt as to his calling. His red-brown torso was bare, save for two hempen straps that crisscrossed his chest, from which were slung a powder horn and a buckskin ammunition pouch. A quilled knife sheath hung on a leather cord around his neck. His lower half was clad in a blue trade-cloth breech-clout and thigh-length leggings. Leg ties beneath each knee held the legging in place. Like the others, he wore deer-hide moccasins. His head, while shaven, was not unadorned, for at the back of his scalp was a ring of long black hair. Braided into the hair were three black-and-white eagle feathers. As if his hairstyle and dress were not striking enough, there was one more affectation that separated him from his companions. His face, from brow to chin, was concealed behind a rectangle of black paint. Not an inch of his natural colour was visible, save for a crescent of white muscle set deep in the corner of each unblinking eye. His right hand gripped a shortened musket. His left rested on the head of a tomahawk tucked into his waist sash. A maplewood war club in the shape of a gunstock lay in a sling across his...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?